Hello, I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine. Thank you for being with us for another Mobility Management podcast. And for this episode, I'm once again very happy to welcome our friends from NCART, Executive Director Don Clayback and Associate Director McKay Lee. Don and McKay, welcome back to our podcast once again. And thank you again for making the time to give us another update.
Very happy to be here, Lori. We appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. We love joining you for these.
Well, thanks for that. We love having you. And we'll use this episode as a bridge, I think, from 2021 into 2022, because we do have some unfinished business from last year. But at the same time, we also want to use this opportunity to look ahead and see what you're anticipating, what's coming up in 2022 from where we stand right now from a policy and an advocacy perspective. So as our first example of some unfinished business or maybe some ongoing business, Medicare coverage for power seat elevation and standing. So to recap where I think we are right now, and please correct me if something else has happened. In September 2020, the CRT industry formally asked Medicare to consider coverage for power seat elevation and standing in complex rehab power wheelchairs. And in November 2020, CMS said, okay, your request process is complete. So from there, it usually takes around a year for CMS to respond to these kinds of requests for coverage. But so far, it's been about 16 months, give or take, and I don't think we've had a CMS response. So to break it into two questions, first of all, has there been any new information on getting a CMS response? And second, once there is a CMS response, because we know we will get one eventually, what are the next steps on our end? So in other words, what do we need to do once we get that response?
Great question, Lori. Thanks, and great topic. As you said, it's certainly been a while. And to recap, as you did, you know, we really started with the formal submission back in September 2020. And the good news is CMS did hit the timeline in that the next step in the process is they take the application and they review it and they accept it as complete. So that's an official step, and they usually take up to 60 days. And sure enough, at the 60-day mark, they did accept our application as complete, and that was in November 2020. So we then started having some conversations with CMS, but unfortunately, the next step in the process, which is when they post that so the public can comment on the application or the request for reconsideration, that step has not happened yet. So that really is the next step in the process. We have been doing things to help facilitate that. In the fall, we reached out to Congress because we were not having much success within the ITEM Coalition and the related partner groups. So we reached out to Congress, and they did send a letter to the CMS administrator around taking this to the next step. And that letter went out in October. There were 77 members of the House of Representatives, so it was a great turnout. It was led by Congressmen Langevin and Young, who are the chairs of the Disability Caucus, so they certainly have an interest in this topic. And that went out in October, along with the letter from three senators. And that was led by Senator Duckworth, who also uses a wheelchair and is a champion for disability rights. So that went out in the fall, and then we did have a meeting with Dr. Meena Seshamani, who is the Medicare director. She's a physician and the Medicare director at CMS. We had a meeting through the ITEM Coalition with her team in late December, December 21st. And basically, that was our message that, geez, it's been too long. We really need to move this forward. Is there other information we can supply? What can you tell us in terms of where it's at? They explained that they have had internal discussions on this. They acknowledge they've got the letters from Congress. They also know that there's a broad range of support for this. But other than indicating they're continuing their internal discussions, they were not able to make any commitment on when we would get to that next step. We do understand CMS has got a lot of things going on. Certainly COVID-19 is a big focus. But as you indicated, you know, we now are looking, if we even go back to November, which was when the application was accepted as complete, it's been 14, 15 months, and it's time really for a decision. So we have followed up on the December meeting, and again, reiterating that we would like this to be taken to the next step. And we're also now circling back with our congressional champions to have them also follow up with CMS, particularly Senator Duckworth and Congressman Langevin. As many people know, Congressman Langevin does use a power wheelchair, so he also can speak not only as a congressman, but also as a person who uses technology. So that's where we are right now. Again, the next step is for CMS to open it up for public comment. There'll be a 30-day period, and we'll certainly be working with you and others to publicize that 30-day comment period. We have an educational website that's been created through the ITEM Coalition that provides background information, some video testimonies, and will equip people to make what we hope would be supportive comments to CMS through the portal that will be available once that period opens. And then finally, once that'll be a 30-day period, once that ends, CMS has up to 6 months to digest the information, and then they will publish a proposed decision. And then that proposed decision also has a 30-day comment period. And then from there, a final decision would be posted. So we certainly have more work ahead of us. And really, our focus has been to get CMS to at least take this to the next level. And in fact, when we met with Dr. Sesshamani, we did highlight to her that, you know, the anniversary of the ADA will be in July of this year, just like it is every year. And it would be great to have this wrapped up and an announcement made by that anniversary. So we're trying to put a target out there. We're ready and willing to meet at any time or supply what other information might be needed. But right now, it's to continue to keep the pressure on them to take it to the next step. So long answer to a short question, but a lot of detail in there.
Okay, so that sounds like once we do get an answer from CMS, that NCART will be providing us with some resources so that we can make intelligent, consistent comments to whatever they say. We want to give a unified message, I would assume, going forward, right? We all want to say basically the same thing and not confuse them with differing opinions or messages.
Exactly. And the thing will be, we want everybody to kind of tailor their responses from their perspectives. Like I would expect we'll have consumers that will be commenting, we'll have disability organizations, we'll have clinicians, we'll have providers, we'll have manufacturers. So there'll be some common suggested talking points for people to share, but then they'll also share their own individual perspective, again, whether it's an individual or an organization. But we definitely want to facilitate that process. And I think there'll be some good tools for people to use, and we'll have 30 days in which to submit those comments.
Okay, that's great. So that a consumer could talk about how he or she uses it in the house, and a clinician would talk about better outcomes. Is that what you're talking about when you say different perspectives?
Exactly. You know, to bring the things that the CMS and policymakers need to be aware of, to understand that this is medical equipment, that it has significant benefits for people with disabilities, and that it should be covered under the Medicare program.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Let's move on to our next topic, telehealth. We've heard again and again, of course, how helpful telehealth options have been during the pandemic. And we also know that telehealth can continue to be a really useful, helpful option for clients and families who find it difficult to come to clinic, regardless of whether there's a pandemic going on or not. They might be far away from their clinic, or perhaps transportation is difficult to arrange, or they just have a lot of medical equipment that needs to be packed up and brought along every time they go out. And so telehealth is a nice option for them to have for at least some of their clinic visits or clinic needs. And I know telehealth has been discussed a lot in various bills during the pandemic, but we have a special key interest regarding our CRT clinicians, so our OTs and PTs. We need to be sure that they are included in any legislation or policy that is passed. Is that correct?
Yes, Lori, you are absolutely correct. Right now, Congress is still having a lot of conversations about which COVID-19 flexibilities will remain permanent once the public health emergency expires. And yeah, CRT telehealth options are part of the temporary flexibilities, but as it stands right now, they will expire when the public health emergency does. Now, last month, HHS Secretary Becerra renewed the public health emergency another 90 days. So we know we've got at least through, you know, mid to late April, and that PHE, that the public health emergency, can be extended in additional 90-day increments for as long as it's deemed necessary. But it is difficult to predict when the public health emergency will end, when it will be over. Now, thankfully, Secretary Becerra has stated that he will give agencies and stakeholders at least 60 days advance notice before not extending the PHE further. So we know that we'll have some level of warning, so to speak, when we're working on a very tight deadline. But back to the matter of telehealth, CRT stakeholders, as you mentioned, have been consistently relaying to Congress and to others that telehealth options for CRT do need to be made permanent in order to maintain those benefits that you were just talking about for individuals with disabilities. And so, yes, that includes the physical therapy and occupational therapy CRT services, as you mentioned, when they're appropriate. What we've been doing from an advocacy perspective has been, you know, asking and continuing to encourage all CRT advocates to help us deliver this message to Congress continually by visiting www.protectmymobility.org and sending a pre-written email to their members asking for support on this issue. As you know, communicating with Congress from that website takes, what, maybe 3 minutes or so? It's really easy. You can even do it from your cell phone. It is not a complicated process. You just fill out a couple of fields about yourself, and that helps direct the email system to your specific representatives based on your congressional district. The email is pre-written that offers our talking points and some additional background information that's needed for congressional staff. But at the end of the day, it's a really simple way for advocates to get involved, and we would be grateful to have everyone continue to take action that helps ensure needed access to these important CRT services.
Okay, thank you. And that's a nice segue into my next question. Obviously, we're still in the pandemic. It's still impacting our daily lives. And we have had a public health emergency extension. I know that shipping and supply chain issues are still affecting manufacturers and suppliers' abilities to make and deliver these medically necessary products. Plus, there are higher prices for shipping, raw materials, fuel, et cetera. And a lot of people are being squeezed, in large part because the reimbursement rates were obviously set in a non-pandemic world. And it's not like our manufacturers and suppliers can pass on those costs to consumers because they are following allowables that were set long before the pandemic and that didn't anticipate these extra costs. So I wanted to know what COVID-related issues you are watching over the next few months.
Yeah, thanks, Lori. And as you said, it's been a challenging time, certainly the past 2 years, and unfortunately those continue. I mean, as a country, we've all been dealing with individual challenges and business challenges, and those unfortunately are continuing. And, you know, while there's some relief, I think, in sight, I think the sense is from a business perspective that these challenges are going to be continuing through at least the rest of this year as we hopefully try and get things back to normal. You know, you hit on the high points in terms of the supply chain issues, certainly when it comes to CRT. You know, you're working in many cases with multiple manufacturers. So it's even more challenging because if you're working with someone with a complex wheelchair and some seating components and potentially some other accessories, if you're dealing with four or five manufacturers, you now are subject to four or five manufacturers' challenges. The manufacturers, I think, really have been doing their best to get product in. You know, many products come from overseas. So you've got the availability challenge, you've got the shipping challenge in terms of getting things brought into the U.S. But all those things come into challenges in terms of delivery, getting the customer that wheelchair or that seating system or that, you know, other CRT item. So there's been some relief that did come out from the American Rescue Plan Act, where Medicaid programs, well, state programs were given additional funding that they could use for various areas. So we've been trying to work on getting that funneled out to the DME and CRT suppliers. We've been working with A Home Care and with the state associations as part of that. And we've also been working to educate Congress just on the challenges that providers and manufacturers face. As you mentioned, when it comes to the CRT items, most of these are third-party paid, and it's based on a fixed fee schedule. So, you know, all the additional costs that have been incurred in the past 2 years aren't really reflected in that. And it's not just the cost of the product. There also is the cost of providing the service. So the additional protective equipment that needs to be provided to the employee and to the customer. You know, the challenges in terms of getting into facilities that may have reduced hours or reduced access frankly, the lack of staff in some cases, because suppliers and manufacturers have been hit by COVID, the virus, you know, with their staff. So it's presented those challenges. So all those things come in to make it a challenging environment. We're continuing to educate Congress on all those dynamics. And also this year, as we talked at the state level, to bring these up relative to the Medicaid program. So if there's an opportunity for rate increases, or certainly the need to preserve, at a minimum, preserve the current rates, is going to be an important message, so that hopefully these costs can be somehow addressed, these additional costs can be addressed. And again, some, unfortunately, are permanent. There may have been some that were, you know, rose up significantly, and if they've dropped or improved a little bit, they still are higher than what they used to be. And that's going to be our mission, is to continue to educate payers on what that means and what's needed to make sure access can continue at the expected level.
Okay, thank you. And finally, I wanted to give you an opportunity to give us a general NCART update. So for example, you've been holding those extremely helpful monthly update webinars. So I wanted to ask if those webinars will continue, and if you have any available information at this time on NCART 2022 events or any other priorities you'd like to share.
Absolutely. Well, I can certainly speak to some of the events and updates that we'll be participating in over the course of the next year, and we are really excited about those. You mentioned the CRT industry webinars, Lori, and of course, we are currently planning out the industry webinar schedule for 2022, so folks can be keeping an eye out for more information on those, but we will definitely continue to host those along with NARTS, US Rehab, and the Clinician Task Force. We will also be taking part in other CRT industry events throughout the course of the year, Abilities Expos across the country. We're planning another virtual CRT fly-in for probably around mid-summer timeframe. And last but certainly not least, we'll be holding our annual National CRT Awareness Week in the fall. So lots of great stuff coming up. We, as always, look forward to staying in touch with the CRT community, our advocates and stakeholders, and keeping everyone up to date on the latest. We do that primarily by our email alerts and our newsletters that go out fairly regularly. So if anyone hasn't yet signed up for those, they can visit ncart.us and get themselves signed up to stay in the know. But Don, I'll hand it over to you. I don't know if there are any other priorities or things that you wanted to mention before we give the microphone back over to Lori.
Yeah, thanks, McKay. Yeah, Lori, just to kind of, I actually was working on something, so I have in front of me kind of our bullets for this year. So I'll just kind of review those, and I know we'll be talking about them during the course of the upcoming year, but some we've already touched on. Certainly, number one priority is the coverage of power seat elevation and power standing. We, again, making progress on that, but we need to kind of break that barrier that we discussed. COVID-19 relief is next on the list. We touched on that. You know, continue to see what we can do to help improve those challenges that providers and manufacturers are having in terms of getting their customers, you know, timely delivery. The CRT telehealth is on that list, and McKay talked about that. We're also going to be updating the plan around the separate benefit category initiative and working on the components of that that we need to be addressing and moving forward with relative to coding, payment, and coverage. We also are going to be spending some time on the repair area. That's a common area of challenge from a consumer perspective. And so we're going to be putting a group together to identify what some of those solutions could be to improve access to timely repairs. There's a lot of detail that goes with that, but we're going to be spending some time on that. And then finally, we're going to continue the work on the state level, and that varies with every state. I think right now we've got activities in 12 or 13 states going on, so we'll be continuing on doing that. So it's a long list, but thankfully we've got some good people working on it, and certainly I'd make a plug for any CRT provider or manufacturer. If you're not a member of NCART, we're working on some good stuff. We really could use your help, and just visit our website, ncart.us, and McKay or I are happy to reach out and tell you what NCART's got going on and how you maybe could be helpful and involved. And last thing, Lori, I'll say before I throw you back, Moat, I did want to make a very important announcement and congratulate you on your 20-year anniversary that I had the privilege of commenting on social media. But too often, you know, there's a lot of good people that work around CRT access that don't get recognized and really yours and Mobility Management's work around CRT coverage from all the perspectives and keeping people informed, encouraging them to take action is very much appreciated from us and all the other people in the industry. So thank you for all the good work you do, and we look forward to that continuing.
Thank you so much. I like to think of myself still as a youngin' in this industry. I think 20 years in a lot of industries would put me up in the higher echelon of tenure, but around here, I'm happy to say I'm still a youngin', still learning, still having a great time, though. So thank you so much. So we really appreciate your taking the time to update us. You've been so faithful about joining us every quarter to get us sort of caught up. And I'm excited about what's coming up. And I'm excited about a virtual fly-in because the California delegation last year had so much fun doing that. So we look forward to that. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope that you will come back in the second quarter with another update. Hopefully, some of these issues that we talked about today will have moved forward.
That sounds great. We look forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait, Lori. Thanks again so much for having us and giving us an opportunity to provide some of these updates.
Thank you. My appreciation to Don Clayback and McKay Leaf from NCART for their time today. Mobility Management podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. The best way to make sure you don't miss any episodes is to subscribe. And you can also go on to our website, mobilitymgmt.com, to listen there. Thank you very much for being with us, and we'll be back again soon.